Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
One of the biggest problems that people inside the United States have when it comes to their mortgage is they don't understand the backdrop of the bankruptcy of the United States and the House Joint Resolution that's already been put in place for the remedy. Now, if you can understand this, the only thing that you will need is to formulate the correct documents and serve them. It's just that simple. Now, there's a series of documents that we have available for you at www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, before you do anything, call me. Let's find out where you are so we'll know how to deal with the situation. Contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then we can get you over. Once you get this information on your belt and you read it, you'll find out just how simple it is to get this thing done. What we have is a crisis inside the United States, and it comes because people don't understand what the solutions are and what the remedies are and how to take these remedies and put in place to solve the problems that they have. Go to HTTP, www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the links and observe the video. Just examine the whole page and click on the link to archives. Go over there. When you get there, contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Moors, listen up. Starting this Wednesday coming, Tahaga presents the online conference call. The call-in number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code, 865-074. That's 712-432-3100. Access code 865074. Make sure you're there, lined up, 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to deal with internet marketing. We're going to be able to converse with one another, and so that we can get a lot of work done here in the United States. We're going to be dealing with your mortgage problems, your student loans, whatever it is. Dial into our Wednesday night conference call starting at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number once again is 712-432-3100. Access code 865074. See you Wednesday night.
Welcome, Moors and Moors Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbay. And tonight we're going to be dealing with, should you stay in a marriage if you are unhappy? What should you do if trapped in a bad marriage? If you are unhappy with your marriage, what should you do? Should you stay and tough it out? If children are involved, what should you do? How should you get married in the first place? Should you have a prenuptial before marriage? Do married people live longer than single people? Under what circumstances should you consider polygamy? These are some of the questions that we're going to deal with this evening. And keep in mind that the phone lines are open immediately. If you got something to say about this right here stuff, I'm looking forward to you chiming in and letting me know what you think about this thing. And first of all, starting out, let me state my position. But before I do, I want to say, first of all, we are offering our free articles this evening, the 14th Amendment Exposed. And the commerce, Secrets of America, the Commerce Game and How to Play, U.S. Bankruptcy and the Moors. Send me an email to tarhaka53@hotmail.com and I'll rush those articles to you. That's tarhaka53@hotmail.com and I'll get that to you. Also, once again, Wednesday night, the financial conference call. Well, we'll get a chance to learn some things. That'll happen at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Wednesday night. That's going to be every Wednesday night. The number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code, 865074. And that's every Wednesday night. And we're going to interact with one another and make sure that when you come to these conference calls, you got your paper and pencil handy so that you can write down all the recommendations that we're making so that you can succeed at dealing with some things. Now, we're going to be, on that Wednesday night, we're going to start off with internet marketing and how to market what you're trying to do online. What do you have to do? What does it take to succeed at that? How do you go about doing that? And so we're going to deal with that Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, now, for those of you who are on your social sites, if you are on Facebook, if you're on LinkedIn or Twitter or MySpace or wherever you are, send a friend request to me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay. That's T-A-R-H-A-K-A, and Amana is spelled A-M-A-A-N-A, and then, of course, Elbay, E-L and then B-E-Y. So send that to me. That'll give me an opportunity to grant that for you. That will give you access to my wall, and we post a ton of information for your education right there. A lot of beautiful articles, helpful articles, a lot of documents are there as well that you can actually use, templates and stuff that you can actually use. So send that friend request, especially on Facebook, to keep me blocked over there, and we'll get that rushed right on to you. So now, this marriage thing now, okay, the way I see this is, first of all, I look at the fact that the United States operates under a continuous series of contracts, okay, or contract law. When you you and your wife decide to get married, and then you go and you go to picking out the place you're going to be married at, you're picking out the wedding gown, and then you're going to have this big wedding, and you're going to get the bridesmaids and the grooms and all of this stuff set up. And, of course, then the brother, he goes out and he gets the rings, and he's going to buy the rings and all of this business, and then we're going to pick the minister that we're going to use to marry us. And I don't know if they're still doing this, but they do a thing where you take the blood test. You have to go get a blood test to see if the blood test results are going to come back, whether to to determine whether or not you should get married. Amazing. Now, when you do these things and you get the marriage ceremony going, then the pastor performs the ceremony. And what he does is he puts the state on notice of the fact that you two are lawfully married, or what they call legally married under contract, which brings the state into your marriage, okay? And but a lot of us are unaware of the fact that this kind of system is set up this way. And so we get into this thing, and next thing we know, if we are not getting along or what have you, and we want to get a divorce, then there's somebody else that steps up to mediate between you and your wife. You know, you got to go to court. There are lawyers involved. There are fees to be paid. And all of these things, because you've entered into a marriage contract, and you're in this contract, and the state is a part of that. So the state steps in and determine who gets what in your marriage, and who gets in the child custody, and children going over here, and all this right here. And the state is all up in your business, in your marriage, because you put them in there. But now, in my opinion, if you are already married, you're already in these contracts, but you are unhappy in your marriage, you want to look at the situation. You're going to have to assess the situation. You just can't come up and say, well, he or she is not doing something that I don't like, and, you know, he's not going to change, and she keeps doing this and all of this, and then I want a divorce. Well, actually, in my opinion, it's not that simple. I think that in the first place, the first thing to do is to, if you're going to be engaged in a relationship with someone that's going to lead to you and that individual coming together and living as a couple, I think there are many factors involved. First thing you want to look at is the compatibility factor. That's very, very important. You want to know if this is somebody you're going to get along with. Are you compatible with this person in any kind of way? And then you want to look at the background situation. There should be many, many long conversations between you two. And in my opinion, I don't think there should be any secrets. You should not go into a marriage with any kind of secrets. I think all the cards need to be laid on the table before you decide to make this move, because this is a very, very serious move. And then if their children can come out of this thing, then it gets even more serious. But it starts with a thorough investigation of each other, compatibility-wise, and to determine whether or not you're going to be able to stay together, if you're going to go the distance. And so if we look at that and look at this from this approach, if we take this approach to a relationship that could possibly lead to marriage, I think that you would be much more successful. Now, I'm a minister of education for the Moorish government, and I do know that the Moorish government does perform marriage ceremonies outside of U.S. commerce in without these binding contracts and such. So you may want to consider giving me a call or going over to the www.moorishamericangov.org website, and there are numbers that you can call and get questions answered before you make these moves, okay? So, in my opinion, if you're in a marriage and you're unhappy, before you take any action, I think there should be a whole lot to be discussed between you and your mate. And so if you're going to separate, it should be done amicably, peacefully. And I don't think that a person should be locked in a situation that they're unhappy in. And but if you're not willing to communicate, then I don't think you should do anything drastic at the same time. Now, the phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment in regard to this situation, I would like to hear what you have to say. If you are married or you're considering marriage, Go ahead and raise your hand, open up the phone line. The number to call is 310-982-4184, and we can discuss this thing. Now, when we look at the compatibility part of this thing, and I just happen to have one of my books right here, and I use this book quite often in talking to people that are married or are considering being married. And this is a book that was written by a woman called Suzanne White, and the name of it is The New Astrology. It's a big, thick book. And in there, it puts the Eastern and Western signs together, and it gives you a more decisive piece of information to work with. You have something to work with. For instance, we will say that if you were born, if you was born in the month of Pisces, but you were born in the year of the rooster or the year of the ox or the year of the snake, then this is a compatibility circle right here. Okay, this is compatibility circle. And so, like I'm looking at right now, I'm looking at Aquarius, and then there's Pisces. And let's see, let's take one. Okay, we're gonna take somebody born in the ox year. I know the years for ox is 1961 is a year. It says, for its compatibility is concerned, your best bet for partners live among Leo roosters, rats, and monkeys, Virgo pigs like you, solidity, and you will be attracted to Sagittarius, both dragons and monkeys variety. Gemini snakes melt your concrete heart, but Virgo tigers get on your nerves, as they tend to snobbery, ditto, finally oriented Libra cats, and ethereal Pisces goats. So what we're saying here is these are the people that you're most likely to get along with. So we come to a system of a number system, and we look at the numbers. Okay, so people born in the year 1957, that's a year for me. People born in 1969, that's a year for me. People born in 1961, those are my years. So I'm able to look at the numbers and tell whether or not we're going to even get along in the first place before anything begins. Now, that doesn't mean that people casual dating and stuff of this nature here in incompatible situations is not possible. But you have to look at the compatibility factor prior to being engaged with somebody. And this is just my opinion because it works for me. I mean, it has always worked for me. I can tell if I'm dealing with somebody that I know that is compatible, there's not any strain on the relationship. We're both on the same page. We pretty much both like the same thing. So there's less friction. That doesn't mean that there'll be times when we won't have a disagreement. But as far as any major rifts that you would get, being in an incompatible situation is less likely to occur. And so if you call in, if you have questions or comments, or you want to, we can take a look at your numbers and take a look at his numbers, and we can determine right there what you're dealing with if you're giving me the correct numbers. Now, as far as remaining in a relationship, if you didn't have this kind of knowledge and you didn't do any of these things, once again, my advice would be, instead of just running out of the marriage if you are unhappy, let's get through the concrete reasons why. Let's look at the compatibility factor. That would determine whether later on down the road that your marriage is going to last anyway. Let's look at all the other factors and put this thing together so you can make an intelligent decision involving either remaining in that marriage or leaving that marriage. Now, What should you do if you are trapped in a bad marriage? Now, let's take a look at that. Now, if you, I consider a bad marriage to be an abusive marriage. If you're married to someone and you're living in the same house with that individual, and they are abusing you, and you feel trapped in the situation. You can't go anywhere. You have all these things going on inside your head. The sisters are emotional, and I mean, you just feel trapped. You're being abused in many different ways. There's different types of abuse. You got physical abuse. You got mental abuse. You got verbal abuse, and all of these things that could occur. And so you don't want to remain in a bad marriage under these type of circumstances. If you are unhappy with your marriage, what should you do? Now, once again, back to the original statement, you're going to have to draw some conclusion. Should you stay in tough doubt? Okay, now, if you got children, hold on 1 second. Let me take a look at this here. Area code 716. Tell me who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment. 716.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to ask, what is the name of the book by Susan White?
The name of the book by Susan White is The New Astrology. The New Astrology.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's
all
it.
Right. You're quite welcome.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Anybody else got any questions, comments? Go ahead and raise your hand. I'll open up the phone line. And before we delve down in this thing, because I want to get down in here, and I want to get some more information. Now, there's also another book that I would like to recommend to you. As soon as I get a little light down up in here, here we go. And this is another book that I would like to recommend that you get too. And because I've used these quite successfully during my lifetime, it saved me a lot of problems in dealing with people and business and every which kind of way. Okay, one book is called The Handbook of Chinese Horoscopes, and this book was written by a woman named Theodora Lau. And you can spell her name, Theodora, and the last name is Lau, Lau, Theodora Lau, The Handbook of Chinese Horoscopes. And then we have another book. Okay, no, that's the same book in the red cover. Okay, we've always got to do Chinese astrology. Okay, so we got that. Okay, all right. The New Chinese Astrology by Suzanne White. Okay, we got that. Now, this prenuptial thing. Now, in my opinion, I had to look at that from a position that a person is, if you have a tremendous amount of assets and you're not sure about the relationship that you're in and all this right here, and you feel comfortable with the prenuptial agreement, as long as both of you are in agreement with this and you think that that's the way to go and both parties are willing to sign that particular contract, as far as I'm concerned, that's up to you because you both have consent to do that between each other. You're both willing to do such a thing. In a prenuptial situation, you both have to be on the same page. You wouldn't draw up a prenup and then not tell your spouse that that's drawn up and forge your signature or forge his signature on it. That's crooked. We don't want to do that. Now, if you got children in this marriage, now this is when it gets really, really rough down in there with those children because you're going to have to consider the children, especially if they're small children. And, of course, it takes a parental coalition of a man and a woman to to raise a child. A woman cannot raise a child on her own. She can sustain one, but she cannot raise him to take the parental coalition, because the child has to grow up in an environment where he has balance. He has to have mom and he has to have dad. And if mom and dad is there, then the child feels protected. The child is getting, he's able to know, see how his mother and father interacts with one another. How, you know, he learns how to, if he's a boy, he learns how to treat a woman, because his father is supposed to teach him that, because the child is going to imitate him. If he's a boy, he wants to be like his dad. He's going to do what his dad does. And so dad has to be a good guide, especially when he knows that that boy is watching him. And daughters, of course, their first teacher is their mother. So they're gonna learn from their mother. And this is something that the brothers need to understand, too. And one of the first questions that I'll ask a sister upon meeting her, if we plan on having a relationship, I want her to tell me about her mother. You know, what kind of woman was your mother? What did your mother do? What did she do? And, you know, what kind of relationship did she have with your father? Is your mother and father still together? These are the types of questions that we want to ask one another prior to ever being engaged. If we plan on, if we're looking at each other like, okay, he's a keeper or she's a keeper, and we may be considering going the distance, there should be many, many hours of conversations long before you ever get into any sexual acts or anything of that nature. We got to do these things. Otherwise, we are pretty much setting ourselves up for failure if we don't do this. If we overlook the putting all the cards on the table, no more secrets, lengthy conversations, really getting to know each other, our likes, our dislikes, a little background information on the past and stuff, and you know, but we don't need to drag up all the trauma and stuff. But eventually, we do need to put all the cards on the table, one way or the other, so there will be no secrets. And as long as you do it like that, and you have those secrets, and everything is understood up front, then you don't have any problem. I mean, you don't wait till you get married and be in a marriage 5 years down the road, and all of a sudden you got a kid coming to your house, and this is my daddy, and then you got to explain to your wife why you didn't tell her about him, and you know, and all this other stuff. So you don't want to do that. You want to get in there, lay it all out up front, and if you got it all out up front, then you know, we don't have anything to be ashamed of, because you've laid all the cards on the table. Okay. So it's very important for us to look at this from this perspective. Be right back.
Okay. Well, what's the solution to the mortgage fraud? It's very, very simple. There's documentation whereby you can cancel a mortgage and property taxes at the same time. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. If you are not in foreclosure, however, you have been served with some notices about your mortgage, being late, if you just don't have the money, cancel the contract. It's real, real simple. Along with you get rid of the mortgage package, we'll also give you Tahaka's archives. That way you cannot go wrong. Feel free to contact me, Tahaka Montreal Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Morris.
Okay, now we're back. Now, I'm going to look at what Miss Suzanne White has to say about me up in here. So let's see, where am I over here? Oh, here I go. Okay, born in the month of Cancer, born in the year of the snake. All right. Let's see what it says. Compatibility. You get a charge out of roosters Your best shot with them will be found among Taurus, Virgo, Scorpio, and Pisces. The same goes for oxen in all of those categories. You're not thrilled by Aries, tigers, or monkeys. Capricorn tigers and pigs and Libra pigs leave you colder than you already are by nature. Okay. So those numbers and those arrangements, this represents compatibility. But everybody has what's called an incompatible circle. Everybody is in a 360-degree conflict circle with someone in that zodiac. And, for instance, let's take a look now. We're going to say that people born in cat years, they are compatible with people born in pig years and people born in goat years. Now, but people who are born in cat years are in a 360-degree conflict with people born in rooster years. And these are variables and stuff that we look at in dealing with people, especially if you're dealing with somebody in business and you're going to be in a relationship with somebody. You have to look at this because, you know, you often we hear the term that, well, you know, I'm not feeling him or I'm not feeling her and the stuff of this nature. I feel good when I be around this person. And then, you know, compatible people, they tend to seek one another out. And, I mean, they some kind of way they are drawn to one another. And it's a good question to ask, a good thing to ask the person the question about these numbers, and because this is an ancient science, and this came from your ancestors. Actually, it did. Now, as far as I'm concerned, is what roosters and oxes, roosters and snakes. That's the category right there. But snake people are in a 360-degree conflict circle with people born in boar years and in pig years. Okay, so you're not gonna be feeling that. That's not gonna last, especially in a relationship. It's just not gonna work. Somebody's gonna come up short in that one, and so that's with everybody. Everybody is has someone that's in 360-degree. I remember once I was working on a job. And I was working on an assembly line, and behind me there was another assembly line, and the guy that was working behind me, both assembly lines was going in the same direction. And I had set up a system where the bad bread that was coming down my assembly line, I would take that off and put it in a tray to the left, okay? And but what was interesting was I kept taking this bread off, putting it in the tray, and I kept looking around, and I started noticing that I started seeing, because this guy, what he was doing was he was putting bread from what I thought was his assembly line over on my line, which is what he's supposed to do. But what this guy was doing was the bad bread that I was putting in the tray, he was turning around, picking that bad bread back up out the tray and putting it back on my line. And I asked him, I said, man, what are you doing? He said, I just put the bread up there. I said, no, that's the bad bread. He said, yeah, but my system is to take the bad bread and put it on your line. And so I asked him, I said, what's your birth numbers? And he told me his birth numbers. I couldn't find out he was born in a 360-degree conflict circle with me. In other words, his thinking about how to get things done is the total opposite of mine. It was amazing. Now, the manager, the supervisor, the machine operator, he was born in a snake year just like me. And he says, when I got ready to leave that day, he says, so how the new guy down there working out? I said, he gonna give you problems. You know, why you say that? The man just started. So I said, well, okay, you asked me, I told you. So the next day when I came to work, as soon as he see me, he said, man, you know what, you were right. He said, that boy gave me problems all night. I said, well, there's a reason for that. I said, you and him is in the 360-degree conflict circle. I said, his thinking is the total opposite of your thinking. So these kind of variables and stuff we have to look at. Also, the time of day of your birth within a 3 or 4 hour span is something that we need to consider also. If you are 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Hours of a sheep, okay, but then we need to find out what numbers are we talking about, who are we talking about. Okay, that's a snake person. So from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., that's the hours of the monkey. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., the hours of the rooster. From 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the hours of the dog. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., the hours of the horse, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., hours of the snake, and 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., the hours of the dragon, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m., the hours of the cat, and so on and so forth. So this information, once we learn this information and we learn how to apply it to our lives and dealing with other people, we have a generalization of what to expect in dealing with certain individuals. And so I highly recommend that you look at this information and consider it. I had a young lady that I was dating once, and she, her and I were half compatible. The rooster and snake part was good, but the Leo and Cancer part, wasn't as smooth. And every year, over and over, every year, there was a rift and a separation during the same exact time of year. Every year. I would go through the same thing with this sister every year. And so I clearly got it down to where I clearly understood it. It became a situation where it was expected. I mean, it was no big deal, you know, because I already know it's going to happen. You know, some little junk going to go on, and then you know, I'm not going to hear from you, and you're not calling me, I'm not calling you, and all this business. So these are the things that you will learn once you begin to delve into this particular science, and you are able to deal with it. And when it comes to us getting in a marriage, my advice to you is to check it out. Look at everything from every conceivable angle. And if it doesn't fit, don't force it. If you're going to talk about marrying someone, okay? Long conversations, the whole ball of wax, all the cards on the table, and all. I mean, no holds barred, because we cannot afford to get into a relationship with an individual, and especially as we're going to start investing money in one another and all of this stuff, and then we are incompatible because we haven't taken the time to examine that. We got skeletons in the closet. I'm not willing to communicate with you about this, that, and the other. I didn't tell you this about me, and all of this kind of business. So we want to make sure that we get these cards on the table. Hold on, Moses.
Hey, Moses, listen up. For those of you who've been contacted by the Internal Revenue Service, they call you by phone or by letter. There is a way to deal with the Internal Revenue Service, and I call it dealing with them prior to ever having to go to court. What you want to do is you want to put them in a situation where they are forced to deal with you from a position of law. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the link to HawkerArchives.org and go right over there to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service package. As soon as you get there, give me a call to Tahaka Omana El Bay, area code 904-303-9061. And please call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, we're back. Now, one other announcement that I want to make. For those of you, if you are considering doing your nationality, I recommend that you go to www.moorishamericangov.org. That's moorishamericangov.org. Register with your government. Put all your family member name down and everything, and get that done. Okay.
Called your house the other night. Strange voice out of the phone. Knew something just wasn't right.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know exactly what to do. So I hung the phone and said, "Came to you."
All right.
But here I am, about to lose my mind.
Come on.
Started drinking alcohol.
Oh yeah.
I haven't showered in a few days. Looked in the mirror, I hadn't even shaved.
Come on,
somebody please, please tell me what to do.
Oh yes,
I'm about to do some things I don't want to do. All my friends say, ready to be.
Come on,
don't you know what you got yourself into now? Why me, baby? Why me?
Children, you will discover that if everybody's on the same page, then and you're working on your stay together as a family, when all of you are actively involved in something that belongs to the family. All too often we have the husband, he's getting up at one time in the morning, he's going to work, and the sister's getting up. She's taking the children to daycare, and then she's going off to work. So we got somebody else raising our children while we out working on jobs and stuff. And then we come home in the evening. There's not a whole lot of time, that family time, that we're putting in until the weekend comes. And but I think the family unit is the basic unit of society, and therefore that should be a very, very strong unit. And if you got something that everybody in the family can work on and everybody is happy with being a part of that, that brings strong family ties in that unit, you see. So you may want to consider what is it that we can put together that we can all agree on that we all like, instead of having dad, he's in the den watching football, mom in the room watching a television program, and children in another room playing video games. And, you know, the house is, even though everybody's in the house, but the minds are divided. We got all these other interests. So if we can come together and create something in that family that we can all participate in, and even if it's a little small business project or something that everybody can work on, that's an excellent idea to create good, strong family ties. And in that situation, you want to make sure that everybody gets something out of it. If you're making money in your own business, then everybody needs to get a paycheck. Your wife needs to get a paycheck. You need to get paid. The kids need to get their own individual paychecks and stuff. And all these things need to be considered. And there should be a time when the family comes together for family meetings and planning. This is something that a lot of us don't do across the country. That's very important for us to come around and sit down and talk about the future of the family, where we are headed, what the goals of the family is, what investments we're going to make, what are we going to do with the benefits, what about our, you know, what trips are we going to take as a family unit. All of these things need to be discussed inside the confines of the family. And you'll discover that, you know, because actually, to be honest with you, family is everything. Family is everything. And so when we get to realize that, then we have good, strong family ties all the way across the board. You may even want to set up a gardening project that everybody can get involved in, whatever it is. If you got a wife that she likes gardening, why take an interest in it? You know, in my opinion, I think it's better than football. Because that's my opinion. Now, don't everybody call in and want to jump on me by that one. However, I would like to recommend a book for the brothers. And this book was written by a man called, his name is Alan P. Aubrey. Alan P. Aubrey. And the title of the book is Man of Steel and Velvet. Man of Steel and Velvet by Alan P. Aubrey. And there is another book that I recommend for the sisters. There are several of them. But this book is called Get on Top. And it's the author is called A Righteous Mother. Get on Top by A Righteous Mother. You probably have to get that. Up online, and that's a good book. Also, the book written by Scheherazade Ali, and it's called The Black Man's Guide to Understanding the Black Woman. And then she also wrote another book about The Black Woman's Guide to Understanding the Black Man, because I really do think that there's a whole lot of things that we are not willing to come to grips about each other. And I think these cards need to be put on the table as well. And so along with the sciences, there's another book that I would like to recommend too. And that book, let's see, let me get the title of this book here. This is a very, very good book. And it is a book called Numerology. And I will get the answer to that in just a second. It's called The Life You Were Born to Live. And the author of this book is named Dan Millman. Dan Millman, M-I-L-L-M-A-N. A Guide to Finding Your Life Purpose. The Life You Were Born to Live, A Guide to Finding Your Life Purpose by Dan Millman. Very, very good book. I do the numbers and stuff in that book there. It's been a while since I've been in it. But that's a good one, too, when you're dealing with the sciences of mathematics, astronomy, and the zodiac and all of that stuff, and looking at these numbers and stuff. And so those are so far the books that I want to recommend. The first book, for those who just tuning in, is The New Astrology by Suzanne White. And then she wrote another book called The New Chinese Astrology. And Theodora Lau has one called The Handbook of Chinese Horoscopes. And these are the books that that I use in communicating with people and getting to know the people around me. I always make it my business to try to know who it is. I know, you know, my neighbors' numbers. I know my other neighbors on the other side. I know their numbers. And so I'm knowing what to expect from these people because I feel like I know a little bit, even though we have not had total in-depth conversations and we are not dating one another and all that stuff, but at least I know I have a generalization of who I'm dealing with. And so I pretty much know what to expect in certain circumstances from this individual. So this is something that we want to consider. Now, let's take a look at the polygamy thing. Under what circumstances should you consider polygamy? Well, if we look at reality inside the United States, we know we got a large segment of the so-called black male population incarcerated inside the United States. And we have a lot of single women, but we have been given a whole lot of information by the American society, so to speak, that polygamy, that's evil, that's wicked, that's wrong. But if you look into the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, it was commonplace for a man to have many wives. And usually when I say stuff like that, I have had sisters say, well, I think a woman need to have many husbands. I said, well, okay, all right, if you feel that way. I've always seen bees going from flower to flower, but I never seen a flower go from bee to bee. But I look at it in that context, and I do believe that a man he can have more than one wife. He can have many friends associated with those wives. But a woman can't do what a man can do. She can't cook dinner in one place and then go cook breakfast in another place and raise a whole another set of family. She's not equipped for that. But that does not mean that she cannot have sex with more than one man. That's a whole different paradigm right there. Whole different thing there. One of the main reasons that I wanted to bring this particular topic up is to introduce some things to the brothers and sisters that they may want to consider, because all too often I see brothers, they will see a shapely woman out in the street, and the first thing they do, hey, baby, look here, let me holler at you. And they want to strike up this conversation and all this stuff, and they want to rap and all of this kind of business here. But my question has always been, okay, well, who is it that you're trying to rap to? Who is she? I mean, you stop at the car, you turning around, you trying to give her a ride, Are you trying to pick up a sister that's in a 360-degree conflict circle with you? Have you, did you try to get to know the sister? Did you add some very, very key things to your own self about what it is that you are trying to accomplish as far as a mate is concerned? Have you come to grips with that before you even ever attempted to go out in search of a sister? And then you, where do you go to find a sister? Because I have met brothers and sisters that go out to nightclubs to meet men. And in my opinion, I believe, and, you know, I just have to look at me the way I see it. If a woman going to a nightclub, in my opinion, she's going to meet a man. If she's with a girlfriend, they're going out to a nightclub, going to meet a man. That's the way I see it. I mean, I would not go into a nightclub talking about meeting a woman that I'm gonna marry. I'm not gonna do that. That's just me. Now some of you all may look at that differently, but that's just me, the way I see it. Now that doesn't mean I can't meet the wrong woman in a laundromat. Or in a shopping mall, or in a grocery store someplace. That doesn't mean that. But I'm certainly not going in there to meet one, because I used to talk to the sister all the time, and I said, yeah, I'm going to meet me a sister. She said, well, just go up to the club. I said, no. She said, when I want a date, I just go up to the club. So that was her thing, and you know, she done her thing, but I would never do that, because I had no intentions of ever going to the nightclub to meet a woman, taking her home to do nothing. I don't do that. I'm not gonna do that. That's just me. Everybody have their own ideas about, you know, how they want to do things, but as far as I'm concerned, that's not how I do it. Now the polygamy thing. If we look at it, and I mean, we have polygamy going on right now in the United States, and all too often we have brothers and sisters that want to criticize something that they know absolutely nothing about. And the way I look at it now, with the ratio between brothers and sisters inside the United States, we need to start looking at a polygamy situation very, very closely. And even if we don't get involved with it, we need to at least examine it, and because especially when we look at the fact that if a man is financially stable, if he's physically fit, and he can take on the responsibility of more than one woman and their children, and I mean, this is not new. This is something that has going on ever since I was growing up. I know men that had hundreds of thousands of dollars and had different families on different sides of town. And all these families have big, nice homes and nice cars, and, you know, they ate, the children was well-groomed and everything, each family. And but everybody was very, very quiet about that. Nobody made any qualms about that. But then when you hop up and say, well, you know, I'm gonna have two or three wives. Well, you're a bigamist. You are so and so. You ain't, he ain't no good, and you know, and all this right here business. You know, we gotta start taking some closer looks at some things before we get down into all of that kind of stuff. Okay.
I've been asked over and over by a lot of people about the exercising your freedom of rights to travel. And that is something that I have done. I've done it quite well, and I do it today. However, it is something that you have to understand. First of all, there are things that you need to know in order to have the confidence to get out there on that pavement and defend yourself and be able to do this thing successfully. This information is contained in Talker's Archives. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com And once you look over that page, click on TahakaArchives.org. Go over there, and you'll see Tahaka's Archives Master Library, where the audio, video, the documentation, and everything else that you would need is right there available for you in order for you to exercise your freedom of rights to travel. That saves you a ton of money. That saves you jail. That keeps you from having to have a driver's license, tag, registration, and all that kind of stuff. www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, contact me, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, at area code 904-303-9061. Try to call me before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me directly, Tahaka, call me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you are dealing with your, if you're getting threatening letters from your mortgage company and they want to, like they want to try to foreclose on you and all that stuff, give me a shout. If you got a student loan, if you out of school and they've start billing you for this enormous student loan and all this debt and interest attached to it and all that stuff, give me a call and we'll show you exactly how to deal with that situation. If the Internal Revenue Service messes with you, give me a shout. And for those of you, first of all, congratulations to all the brothers and sisters that are constantly signing up under the Powernomics Network and accessing that Platinum Plus package. You're well on your way to setting up your own little small business, but I would also like to include that you keep in mind that if you are married, and because I haven't been asking those brothers and sisters that's been signing up if they are married, but it's something that you want to make your whole family a part of, and the benefits, and all that stuff that's going to be available to them. However, you want to get them involved in the business aspect of it, so everybody in the house can be on the same page. And you discover that you can go, really, really, really go far with this thing. And I'm excited about it, and it's working. It actually works for me, and I keep it going, and I keep it posted every day and access to it on a daily basis. So congratulations to you all who's decided to make the move of owning your own business and getting in a position where you can start running something that you own. So, once again, if you got questions or comments on anything that we're discussing here this evening, go ahead and raise your hand, and I will open up the line so that you can ask whatever it is that you want to ask. Okay?
Okay. Well, what's the solution to the mortgage fraud? It's very, very simple. There's documentation whereby you can cancel a mortgage and property taxes at the same time. Go to www.newfreehelpgroup.com. If you are not in foreclosure, however, you have been served with some notices about your mortgage, being late, if you just don't have the money, cancel the contract. It's real, real simple. Along with you get rid of the mortgage package, we'll also give you Tahaka's Archives. That way you cannot go wrong. Feel free to contact me, Tahaka Montreal Bay, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay,
since
Now, let's talk about how to get married. How to get married. How to get married with Rome out of it. How you go about doing that? Well, it's pretty much common sense. Now, if you have met a woman, and you're a woman and you have met a man, and you all decide that you're going to get married, you have to keep in mind that when you all meet, there's nobody there but you. Just two of you. And so if you're going to decide to get married, why don't you, when you get ready to do that, go ahead and get a book, and actually get two books. Get one book, and this is for the groom. He can get all of his family members to sign that book, and those who are going to be at the wedding. And you can get a place to hold that thing at, and you can have your ceremonies and stuff, but we don't need any minister to do that thing. We're going to exchange vows. He's going to record all of his family members as witnesses to the fact that you all both have consummated a marriage. You've gotten together and say that you're going to be married. And she's going to get all of her family members that are going to attend the wedding there. So you got all these witnesses to the fact that you two are married. And the only contract that exists is the contract you created. Rome ain't no way in it. If Rome got a problem with you being husband and wife because they don't have a record of it downtown, you say, well, you can provide the records and proof and witnesses to testify to back the proof up. Right there. You exchange vows, and you can exchange rings and pronounce yourselves man and wife. It's just that simple. That's how you do that. There's no contract with Rome. There's no minister. There was no blood test involved. There's no record. Nothing. Rome has nothing in their files on you with your husband and wife, you see. And but if you need somebody to perform that ceremony for you, you can, without being attached to Rome, you can go to the Moorish American Government. I just put that website in the chat room. That's www.moorishamericangov.org. When you get over there, there's a number you can dial. If you have not registered with your government, go ahead on and register there and add all of your family members that you can think of in that thing and click the send button. You're on the roster. You can dial into the conference call that's held 7 days a week, starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You dial in there. And if you got questions or if you have comments, you can get your teachings on. They have a Sunday school going on as well for those of you who want to participate in that. Then the kids will get a chance to participate too. And they can learn a great deal right there with the Moorish American government. Okay? So, now, back to this dilemma here that we have here about this marriage thing. If children are involved, what should you do? And that's a tough one because we have to be very, very careful with that because anytime a single parent is attempting to raise a child, especially a young male child, without that father there, the child grows up with an imbalance. And I've seen many, many cases where we got young men out in the street. They feel like they have to hurt somebody to be respected. I have to talk loud. I have to be disrespectful to the young ladies, and I have to be heard. I have to be seen. I have to be loud. And but I'm very, very fearful. It doesn't matter. Your life has no value to me. And I feel like the world owes me something, and I'm angry with the world because my dad is there, and then the kid is in the school, the child is in the school, I'm sorry, there's no kids, the child is in the school, and the teacher asks, well, what did you and your family do over the summer? What did you do? And the child can't raise his hand because he can't say anything about what his mom and daddy did because he didn't have a mommy and a daddy. He just had a mommy. And so, you know, all of these things affects the children. So if you got children involved, you're going to have to be very, very, very careful in dealing with that situation. You have to think about it's just like carrying a fresh egg somewhere. You don't want to drop it because it'll break. So when it comes to that situation there, you got to be very, very careful. And now, do married people live longer than single people? Okay. If you have an opinion about that one, go ahead and raise your hand. In my opinion, I think that everybody should have knowledge about health and nutrition. And we have to look at the debt situation because in a lot of cases we have marriages that are disintegrating because of the debt, that we have money problems and stuff of this nature. And, of course, there are other factors and stuff, too, just as I mentioned earlier in the broadcast about the incompatibility factor that can be avoided prior to getting married. However, if you're already married, you need to take inventory of not only what's good about your marriage, but what is bad about it, and whatever it is that needs correcting, you might want to say, well, honey, let's sit down because I made a list of some things and I wanted to go over with you and get your opinion on them and see what you think about them. And, you know, be appreciative of one another. Communication. You cannot have a successful marriage without communication. That's the bottom line. You can't have that. You know, if you're unwilling to communicate inside your marriage, you know, it's going to put a tremendous strain on the marriage. You're going to have to communicate with one another. You have to be man enough, a woman enough, to say, okay, before I go off the handle over this here, let's sit down and discuss this, and so that we can make sure. Because a lot of times we just have miscommunication. You may have thought he said such and such a thing. You may have thought she said such a thing, but she may have meant something different. So if you look at these things and you find these things, well, then you might want to be able to see if there's a way that you can get around these things. Because if we have thought enough of each other to get married, in my opinion, and make an attempt to live the remainder of your life with the person that you married with, in my opinion, I think that is worth investing some time to try to save. If you're not in an abusive marriage, if your mate is not what you consider to be cheating on you, which is not good, you know, especially if you got in your mind that that's a no-no. If you both got a clear understanding that cheating is a no-no, and you consider your mate leaving your home and sexing somebody else to be breaking the rules, then you need to make that perfectly clear up front. And both parties are expected to hold up their end of the bargain. But if you do not communicate about these things, if you just, you know, just let things go, and then as soon as you find out something going on, you want to fly off the handle. You know, it's not done that way. I feel like if you let each other know what you think, you know, what you expect, and what you're looking for, and you are also willing to look at what they are bringing to the table, I think you'll feel better in the relationship, provided you both are willing to play by the rules that you've established. Defining our own reality is very, very important, especially in a relationship, in a marriage. All too often, we have allowed someone else outside of our marriage to define our reality. You know, you're going to have to define that for yourself. You're going to have to take a good, close look at the family that you are a part of and that you are responsible for, your responsible role in that family. You're going to have to have respect in there. There's going to have to be communication in there. There's going to have to be love and nurturing and all of these things. But real important, once again, you'll have a lot of success if you find a project that you can both come to an agreement on and work on together. Because if you are actively doing something that you can all benefit from and it belongs to you, you discover that you don't have time for bickering because everybody's on the same page. Mommy's on the same page as daddy. Dad's on the same page with mom. The kids are involved. They got a part in this thing to do. You know, everybody got their chores in the house to maintain the environment and all of this stuff. So if you would structure whatever it is that you plan to do in this manner, you discover that you would have a successful marriage. You can do it. And so there are quite a few people all over the country that are that do have successful marriages. They do. Now, these marriages are not talked about very often in the media, you know, because the media give us a steady diet of corruption, in my opinion. I watch the news and Sunday, I didn't get that wrong. So, so I'm not a television. I don't promote that because I don't look at no television. And for those of you who are not married, if you are single and you are in a relationship, you also want to be just as respectful and courteous in that relationship. You know, just because you don't have a ring on your finger, there's no reason in the world why you should disrespect the person that you claim to be with. If you two are an item and you're dating and seeing one another, you want to be just as courteous and respectful as you can to one another. And so that's my take on that part of this situation. Involved in that. So now, when it comes to divorce, you can expect Rome to be involved. If you've gotten married in Rome's system, Rome is going to be involved. She's going to say, okay, well, if we can't get together and he's leaving the home and he's going to let me and the kids be at home and stuff, part of the income is leaving the home. If he was taking care of the home and for whatever reason, that income is going out of the home now. So we're going to have to, in order to maintain our livelihood, we're going to have to take care of that. And all too often, the sister feels trapped. She feels like, well, okay, I got these kids here, and, you know, I got this house. I got to pay these bills and all this. He's not here. He's going on. He's got him another woman and all that. I'm getting child support for him. He's not going to go over there and get him another family and just leave me and all of these children. He's going to pay for that. She go down and file child support, and then child support, they come in and they say, well, you owe child support because she's getting assistance from us. So therefore, you got to pay. You and her separated and all this business, and you got Rome all up in your business. So the best thing to do if you are not in an abusive relationship and if you are unhappy in that relationship, you want to try to look at all the reasons why you're not happy. And if you can communicate about it with your spouse, and who knows, there may be changes that can be made to create some happiness for you. And if you're just not, you know, if you're not being sexually satisfied, if she's cheating on you, he's cheating on you, then you might want to, you got to take a real good look at where you are before you make any drastic moves toward divorce. Make sure that you have exhausted everything that needs to be exhausted. I don't know about this marriage counseling business, me personally, because I personally feel that you know, you should be able to communicate with each other. You know, you don't need to. You know, this is just my opinion. Some people may think differently, but in my opinion, I think that if you are a man and you have a wife that's a real woman, I don't see no reason in the world why you need to go pay somebody else to remind you of something you already should know. I can't understand that part, you know, about, well, we go into counseling And when you go to the counselor, I guess they go to pointing out all the this, that, and the other that you need to do. And, I mean, I don't see no reason in the world why you couldn't do that at the house and keep your money. I don't understand this occupation, marriage counselor. I don't understand that particular occupation. But nevertheless, we have people who think that that is what they need. So if you think that's what you need and you think that's going to benefit you and you're trying to do everything that you can to make that marriage work, then by all means, you know, by all means. Now, those people who are getting married outside of Rome's contract, okay, now, you are taking on the responsibility to be good husbands and wives to one another. You built your own hedge around your marriage. You don't have recoil to Rome's contracts around you. You have made the decision that you as a husband and you as a wife to take this plunge and treat it just as sacred as if you thought it was sacred with a contract with Rome. So I wanted to add that little bit in there too, because just because you don't have a contract with Rome, there's no reason for you to say, well, you know, we ain't got no contract with the government down there and with the courthouse, so I can just do what I want to do. No, it doesn't go like that. You forgot. You're married. That means you got to respect one another. That means you're both investing in a future together. Okay? Instead of having one income, you got two to consider now if both of you are employed. And you got if you're bringing children in there, now the children have an opportunity to have balance. Child can grow up as a balanced child. He's not emotional. He doesn't think the world owe him something. He has home training. He has a parental coalition of a man and a woman in him. He has balance. So all of these things have to be considered when you're talking about making that step. That is a very, very important step. When you're talking about living in close proximity inside an enclosure with someone else other than you. Because we all wear masks, but upon the approach of another person, hypocrisy sets in. But when you lay all the cards on the table and you come to the conclusion that you should get married, there are no secrets. You've had many hours of conversation. You like each other's company. You discovered that you're compatible with one another. You looked at the charts. You looked at the numbers. You got all these things in place before you're talking about marriage to one another. Okay, now, if you got a situation where you discover that you're half compatible, okay, now that means that you're really going to have to pay attention. You're going to have to get to know each other a while and see how this thing is going to go, because you know something wrong in the charts. Something wrong in the charts. Everything is not smooth sailing. So you want to look at all the variables and everything. You want to consider everything in a relationship that you're involved in prior to getting married. And once again, one of the most important aspects of this is no secrets. All that got to be, that's got to come out in the beginning. You can't go into marriage with secrets. That's just the bottom line. You know what I mean? If there are no secrets, you're ready.
Okay, Morris, listen up. Starting this Wednesday coming, Tahaga presents the online conference call. The call-in number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code 865-074. That's 712-432-3100. Access code 865-074. Make sure you're there. Lined up, 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to deal with internet marketing. We're going to be able to converse with one another, and so that we can get a lot of work done here in the United States. We're going to be dealing with your mortgage problems, your student loans, whatever it is. Dial into our Wednesday night conference call starting at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number once again is 712-432-3100. Access code 865074. See you Wednesday night.
From the United States, please put your hands together and welcome the soul singer, Stan Mosley.
I didn't come here to hear the latest gossip about you.
Bye.
Let's talk about the happiness aspect, because a lot of us don't understand what happiness is. Happiness is possible when you are in the process of accomplishment. That's when you're most happy. After you've accomplished whatever it is that you're trying to get at, after you have accomplished that, in order to maintain happiness, then you're going to have to put something else in place to be happy about. It is one of the most amazing things that I see is if a man or woman is going to get married and they're going to have this big wedding, the sister, she always say, "I'm playing the wedding." And she goes out and, boy, she go to get the bridesmaid together, going to interviewing people. And, yes, child, I'll be in your wedding. And, I got to go get the dresses and all this. And, boy, she going backwards and forth. And she's doing all this stuff, putting all these things together. And it's amazing. The husband was watching. And she comes home with a new thing that she's done. And she stays up at night. She got her paper and pencils. She's planning. She's just a working, and she is just excited. She's happy about this thing, and she's got to pick out the dresses. She got a 2 o'clock appointment. Who is just so much, and I got to get this done. I got to go over here. We got to get the cake, and we're gonna have to get the reception and all this stuff. And boy, she's zooming, and boy, she got. Then we got to pick out the wedding gown and stuff, and I got to have several fittings. And I didn't like the way they had that hem on the right, and. And we got to redo that and all of that. But she's happy. Now the brother, he's sitting there, and she said, "Well, you need to go ahead and get the bridegroom sex standards." So the brother said, "Okay, well, I'm going to talk to my boys and get everybody lined up and get that, and then of course she's going to give him some suggestions where to go to get the stuff." Which is amazing. I mean, this is what I have actually seen. But then after they got married, and I mean, big, beautiful ceremony. The children, they had on their little dresses. They had their part where they walked down the aisle and the throwing of the rice and they going out getting in the limousine and then the honeymoon. It is amazing. And then, but then after several months set in, a year or two set in, you know, they say, "Well, honey, how about going in there and fix myself? You know, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing that right now." Now, here's a woman that has orchestrated an entire wedding, but she can't get in there and fix a little dinner. Y'all have to excuse me. It is amazing to me, but I understand happiness. Happiness is possible when you're in the process of accomplishment. That's when you are happy, when you're in the process of accomplishment. So it stands to reason, if happiness is possible when you're in the process of accomplishment, if you want to remain happy, stay in the process of accomplishment. As soon as you accomplish one goal, go and set another one, and on and on and on. Get your husband involved. He needs to be happy, too. And I know what some brothers may be saying, if I could just be left alone, I'd be happy, but that's not true. Happiness is possible only when you're in the process of accomplishment. When it comes to that word happy, now, we're talking about being happy happy in a marriage. In a relationship. So when you start getting things built into your relationship that you can be happy about, then you'll be much more successful. Now, I want to make mention of the business opportunity. And there are a lot of opportunities out there that a family unit can get involved in. Because what we are talking about is we're talking about surviving inside this marriage, and should you stay in a marriage if you're unhappy? Okay, Well, if you decided that you can't stay in a marriage that you are unhappy in, how about trying to put some things in there that you can be happy about? I would like to recommend something that's very, very good. In my opinion, I think the benefits alone is worth the investment. It is the Platinum Plus package inside the Powernomics Network. The benefits is outstanding. We got protection on road services. If you're driving long distances and stuff, you got protection. If your car breaks down, you get it towed and stuff. You got medical benefits, dental benefits. If there's some kind of way there's a problem with jail and incarceration and all that, you got attorney's benefits, discounts on medicines and all of this kind of stuff. Emergency room payments, and all of this is available in that package for $36.99 per month. And if you didn't decide to network, if you and your husband say, well, okay, we're going to take this benefit package, but all we want is benefits alone, $36.99 a month for that amount of benefits, in my opinion, is worth it in itself. But now you get a chance to build a network that could free you up from your job. If you decided to build this network, if you're just getting married or you're thinking about getting married, this is something that you might want to get to working on prior to actually getting married. And then by the time you get in there and get married, a few months go by, you got a nice, big, steady income coming in. Now you can go ahead and have your children and keep your network going until you children get up some size and make them a part of it. Give them something to do in that thing. So now we got everybody in the house on the same page. We got benefit coverage for everybody that's affordable, and at the same time, the children are involved with the husband and the wife. Everybody on the same page. Everybody is constantly in the process of accomplishment. So now we're talking about being in a happy marriage. I mean, that, you know, I found out that because there was a guy in my neighborhood, and he and his wife, his name is Kay and her name is Carolyn, and they opened up a little small restaurant, and they had all of their children was in the restaurant. Everybody in the family was in that restaurant. We had one son, he's peeling shrimp, and the other one taking the orders, and he was prepping the food, and his wife was taking the money, and he was prepping and deep frying everything that needed to be done. And they done this here over and over, and they are still doing it as a family unit today. And this has been this had to be over 20 years that this man is in business, and he's built a nice thriving restaurant. His wife is right there faithfully by his side, and the children work for their father. I don't ever remember this man having a job or anybody in his family having a job working for somebody else. And they got to be happy because they got their own business in a nice, fabulous home. Everything that he needs as far as finances is concerned, he's got. He's built up a clientele. He has a family-owned business. Everybody in the family is in that business. Everybody in the family gets paid. Everybody gets a paycheck in that family. And I must applaud the brother for this, because ever since I first met him, this is the way it's been for that particular family. This is the way it's been. His daughters, he got several daughters, got several sons. Everybody's in there. You may not see all of the children, because he got quite a few children. May not see all of them in there every day, but then they change shifts. But this is the family business. I don't know anybody that has a job working for somebody else and then come and work for dad part-time. I don't know nobody doing that, because dad keeps enough work for everybody. And his clientele is heavy. And the cars are going through the drive-thru. They got to walk in, the cars down the street, And the brother got it going on, and they have it going on, and the food is outstanding. And he's doing the barbecue. He's, I mean, the menu, nice menu. Everything's hot and fresh. And cooked the order right there. And so everybody is in the process of accomplishment. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. You, if you're married, you want to consider doing that as a stabilizing factor in your marriage. You know, if you're married and, you know, you're going to work one in one direction, he's going to work in another direction, and, you know, in the evening everybody's in the same house, but you're separate. And, you know, you don't have any projects that all of you are working on together. He wants to watch one show on TV, or he wants to go to sleep while you watch something on TV. And he's not doing this. He's not paying me any attention and all of this kind of stuff is going on. And the next thing you know, you are feeling that you have a failed marriage. You don't feel like there's any fire in the marriage, you know. I have never seen this man that I'm telling you about and his wife have a disagreement. Never seen it. Not saying that it never happened, but I have never seen it. Never seen it. Never seen it. And so that's the way it is. So if you got, if you want to get married and you're going to be in a marriage, you want to consider something that can create some type of strong cohesiveness within the marriage, something that you can all work on together. And so this builds strong marriage. Now, let's go over this this sheet here again and see what else we got down here. Let's see. Now, we've already covered everything here on this. And so that is a very, very vital factor to consider in marriage. I had one man, he said he wanted to open a nightclub. And he did, and it had a big, booming, bustling nightclub. But he had a wife, and she was a Christian. She didn't want anything to do with the nightclub business. I'm not coming up to hear you down. You're going to go to hell, and you know, and all this, that, and the other. And so they ended up getting a divorce. And he went on to build a nightclub, and he had a big, fabulous nightclub. I mean, this brother had to pack the house with this nightclub. And everybody went coming back to her telling her how successful he was and all that. So she said, I'm going to file child support on him. She did everything she could to try to drag the man down. She didn't want anything to do with it. You know, she wanted to run the church two or three times a week and all of this stuff. And but he ended up having to pay her child support and alimony and all this old stuff. And but then the brother closed the church, closed the club down, and now the brother has his own church. And I haven't talked to him in a while. I really would like to talk to the brother. In fact, I think I'll call him tomorrow and see. What did she think about you having your own church now, opposed to having a nightclub? But anyway, when both of you can come to an agreement on something that you can do together, actively, on a daily basis, something that you can work on actively that both of you together are going to benefit from, that's going to create happiness in your life, and that's going to bring ease and comfort to the marriage and cohesiveness and appreciation for one another. That's very important. All too often you should stop and tell each other how much you appreciate them. You know, that goes a long way, because people like to know these things. They want to know, okay, I'm married to you, but you haven't said anything to me lately. You haven't told me how much you appreciate me. You know, I do this, that, and the other, and it's like you don't, it's like I'm supposed to do that. I don't get no thanks, I don't get no gratitude. And so these are things that we need to pay attention to, because over a period of time, these things build up in a relationship, in a marriage. And so we want to be cognizant of that as well. And but we one of the biggest killers in marriages, and one of the biggest causes for divorce inside the United States is money. So one man can do a lot of things, but if you got a team, and you got a team player that is in the same household with you, and then you got some loyalty going on, somebody you can trust, and both of you doing the same thing, and both of you on the same page, and so you got it made. I remember listening to the story with Sister Sharon Hunter Bain when she told the story about her grandmother and grandfather. They had a nightclub, and she would work there. She had her duties to do. He had his duties to do, and but they were they were a team in that, and they were very, very successful in nightclub. And so, you know, I'm not telling anybody to go out and open a nightclub, but whatever it is that you're doing, the point that I'm trying to make to you is talk to your wife, you know, before you marry her and find out where her head at. You know, talk to her about business. You know, I didn't say, well, honey, if you had $1 million and, you know, and you can do anything you want to do with it, what's the first thing you do? You know, find out what's in his mind, what's in her mind. You know, find out what it is that she really, really wanted to do if she had $1 million. Find out what he really would want to do if he had $1 million. And find out all of these things long before you ever consider getting married. Because especially if you listen to this broadcast and you do plan to do some of the things that I'm mentioning here in this broadcast, these are things that you want to do, you want to know up front. Because I remember one time I had a sister, I was, you know, quite fond of her. And I said, well, I'm going to get her, I'm going to take her out of town to dinner. We're going out of town and eat dinner. So I took her down to South Florida, nice. A restaurant, we got VIP treatment in there, and they had this boardwalk going out into the ocean. It was dark, and her and I took a stroll out in the ocean, and I told her, I said, I want to ask you a question. I say, if you had $1 million, what would you do with it? And she started thinking. I said, well, think about it for a minute, and I'm going to tell you what I would do if I had $1 million. So I was telling her about the plan I had to make $2 million, and the plan I had to make $3 million, and the plan I had to make $4 million. And I said, so what would you do with your million? She said, well, I want to buy me a hot dog cart. I said, I'm talking to you about $30 million, and you telling me about a hot dog cart? Well, what was interesting is, no matter what I said, she would not give up the hot dog cart. She wanted her hot dog cart. She said, I don't care about no millions of dollars. I want me a hot dog cart because I like hot dogs. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, we over 150 miles out of town. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I said, oh, no. This ain't going to work. I need a heavyweight. I need somebody with a little bit more vision than being on the corner selling hot dogs. With that. Anyway, so it's very important for you to find out up front what's inside that brain, what's going on up in there, man. Don't you need to find out that first. very, very interesting situation that I had gotten myself in. And because I was talking to a sister, she sounded very, very intelligent. She had a college degree. She was a professional. Well, when she told me about that hot dog cart, I wanted to jump in the ocean. Well, anyway, so that goes to show you it's very, very important to discuss these kind of things ahead of time. You know, and then I met another sister. This was here. She was a professional. She worked for the airlines, very, very intelligent. She was a trainer on the job. She was top notch. And anytime I would ask her something about the $1 million thing, she would always tell me, I would support you in it. I said, yeah, but do you have an interest in that? And she was like, no. Well, actually, I don't really have an interest in that kind of money. I said, well, do that kind of money frighten you? She said, no, it don't frighten me. It's just that I can't envision having it in the first place. I said, well, suppose you had some kind of way to do it. You know, would you help me? She said, oh, yeah, I support you. I said, well, that's funny. You keep using the word support. I ain't talking about support. I'm talking about you in there with it, with me. What you? That's what I want to know, if you were doing that. And she never would give me a straight answer. I said, well, nah. And then I discovered that we were incompatible, too. So I left that alone. And so finding somebody that's on the same page with you, and you know, if they can, you know, find out what their dreams and goals and things are in life. Find out, you know, what do you want out of life? You know, what do you want to do? Back to this sister again. But then I found out that this sister knew more about football than most men alive. And I had played football in school. And I have watched a lot of sports and stuff, but I never was the type of person to get down there. This person could tell you the stats, where the player played at, what college he went for, how many yards he rushed for, and a certain amount of years. And all that. And I'm like, where do you get all this information? I said, well, would you like to work for the NFL or something? I said, because I'm sure that you know more than the people in the NFL with all you telling me about it. So that was quite interesting. So finding out where your partner, what your partner interest are, you know, what's your interest, what's going on in your mind, you know, what have you done, what have you ever tried to open your own business, have you ever tried to do anything like that, and find out, you know, because a lot of people I found out that career minded. You know, they got this goal set, you know, I'm you know, when I get my retirement, I'm gonna do this, these are the things that they have set in their mind. And when you come to them and attempt to introduce them to something different, it kinda like, in my opinion, I think it kinda throws them off, because this is something they never thought about doing anything like that. Well, I think a lot of people like to feel secure with something that they feel like is established, and all they got to do is just jump through the hoops. But I'm not going to get out there and try to do anything on my own that I create, that I control, because I created it. We got a lot of people that's just not don't have the mindset of opening their own business or running their own business. And there are all types of businesses. And if you are going to open a business, you need to, before you ever consider investing any money in anything, you need to do all the research. You need to check the entire market out. I just had a man 2 months ago over here in my neighborhood. He decides to open up a barbecue stand. Now, the brother opened the barbecue stand up, and he went and paid for the big fluorescent light sign and had it painted, the windows, the advertisement, had everything on going on the outside of the business. And so I went in the business. I said, well, I'm going to come in here and I'm going to buy me a sandwich to see what you got. I'm going to patronize your business. And I walked in there and I ordered a sandwich from the guy. It was a barbecue sandwich. And so I took it home and I sat down and tried to eat it. The meat was done. But the sauce the brother had was the worst sauce I ever tasted. And I said to myself, I said, you are going out of business. If you don't change this, you're going out of business. I went back up there, and, you know, I didn't go back to buy another sandwich. I went to buy nothing else. But I did go in there, and I told the brother, I said, hey, man, this sauce, man. I said, you know. He said, that's a special recipe. I've always used that sauce. I said, yeah, but it ain't cutting it for me. Well, I'm sorry you didn't like it, but that's the way it is. But needless to say, the brother business is closed now. He's gone down. And so that's the end of that. And so doing research on whatever it is that you're going to set up is very, very important. Because if you are going to own a business, you need to be able to answer every conceivable question, even if the question is never asked about that business. You need to know everything about what you're trying to do because that belongs to you. We got a lot of people that can say a whole lot about their job. They can tell you all about their job. But when it comes to some business and stuff, you know, there's not a whole lot they can say. You know, you ask them about it, well, you know it. You know, I don't get into all the details. You know, all I know is I just sell it and the people buy it and that's it. You know, that's, in my opinion, that's not a business owner. You know, you're not running a business. You don't know anything about your business. You ain't doing nothing. That's just my opinion.
One of the biggest problems that people inside the United States have when it comes to their mortgage is they don't understand the backdrop of the bankruptcy of the United States and the House Joint Resolution that's already been in place for the remedy. Now, if you can understand this, the only thing that you will need is to formulate the correct documents and serve them. It's just that simple. Now, there's a series of documents that we have available for you at www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Once you get there, before you do anything, call me. Let's find out where you are so we'll know how to deal with the situation. Contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then we can get you over. Once you get this information on your belt and you read it, you'll find out just how simple it is to get this thing done. What we have is a crisis inside the United States, and it comes because people don't understand what the solutions are and what the remedies are and how to take these remedies and put in place to solve the problems that they have. Go to http www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Click on the links and observe the videos. Just examine the whole page and click on the link to archives. Go over there. When you get there, contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, now Moses, we're back. Now, one other thing that I want to say, involved in this marriage thing, is when you have these conversations with your potential mate. Remember, I said that these conversations, there should be many, many conversations. Many, many conversations. I mean, I don't mean that you should drill anyone, but you should have concerns. And these concerns should be brought up, and you should discuss them. And until you get some clarity, because a lot of times we say things, and but we mean something different. So we need to get some definition of terminology, so to speak. And these conversations are vital, because you get a chance to know exactly who you're dealing with. And so when you hold these conversations with your mate, then you get a chance to actually pretty much catch a glimpse at a future that you can have with them if you consider marriage, or if you've gotten to the point in your life that you want to get married. And I think, love to a man is a thing apart, but to a woman it's a whole existence. So you have to have these conversations. You have to lay all the cards on the table. You're going to have to, it may take you a while through these type of conversations, but you're going to have to make sure that the closet is empty. There are no skeletons in there. Everything is out in the open. You know, you want to, if you got questions, you need to ask these questions. And they need to try to get some answers or get some clarity on some things. And then so you can come to the conclusion of whether or not this is a person that you're going to attempt to live the remainder of your days with. I listened to Dr. Neely Fuller. You might want to go over there and catch him on YouTube. And he pretty much gives the same advice. These conversations should take place long before there's ever any physical action involved. And so I would like to recommend that you go there and check that out as well. And so when it comes to a relationship, the more you know about each other, the more intelligent decision that you can make when it comes to getting in a relationship. But now, for those of you who are in a marriage already, you want to look at it and ask yourself the question, okay, is my being married to this person and they being married to me, is it good as it gets? What can I do to enhance the marriage? What can I do to put some spark into this marriage that I'm already involved in? What is it that I can correct from my side, and make sure that I'm in tip top inside this marriage, and if it's something that my spouse is not doing, then what we need to do is sit down and hold a conversation about it, and lay it out, and let them know that hey, I'm in this thing. We're in this thing together. We're in it for the long haul, and let's take a look at some of the things that I see here, and that I would like to see improved. I'm going to make improvements from my position in this area here, and see if I can do better here. And this is what I see over here with you, but I need your opinion on this thing too. You know, it may be some things that you see that needs to be corrected, and also, so it's not a one-sided thing. You're not talking down to anybody. You're trying to establish two-way communication between you and your mate in a marriage that you're already in. You're already in this thing. You thought enough of each other to get married in the first place, so therefore, if all the factors are in place and everything and you're all on the same page and you decide to make that move and decide to get married or what have you, the best thing to do is try to make the best out of it. If you got your marriage is not a whole lot of upheaval in there, and you know you ain't fussing and fighting every day and all of this kind of stuff, you want to make sure that you put some long giving in that thing through communication, and that's very, very vital. And I keep bringing that up and keep reminding you of this because it is so important for these things to take place inside of marriage. And so this is something that you want to pay close attention to. Now, whether or not married people live longer than single people, I have to address that question this way. If everybody is understand the laws governing the health in the human body, I think that having a mate can go, that situation can go both ways. You can be in a marriage with somebody, and you can have financial difficulties, and stress could be bearing down on the marriage. Or you may have one person that's both people working, and then you might have them build up this big old lifestyle, and then one person becomes ill, or one person lose their job or something. That puts stress on the marriage, and of course, stress has a bearing on the health, on your health. So whether you are married or not, you always want to be conscious of the health laws and what it's going to take for you to maintain your good health. And so you don't want the burden of unwanted finances bearing down on your marriage. And still, once again, communication and is going to play a very, very important part. If you are without a job, you want to make every effort, and you want your mate to see you making every effort as quickly as you can to bring some bread in the house. You want to do that. You don't want to sit down and start complaining about it. Well, I don't have my job, and I done been over here in 5 places. They not hiring. And, you know, and steady depressed and steady looking down. I mean, that's not solving anything. That's not going to solve anything. If you got one strategy and that strategy ain't working, try something else. If you have to call a temporary agency and get you some work through there. In fact, get several of them. And let them know that you are available, and one hire you to go to job, and another one may call and say they got another job for you. And so, you know, there's a whole lot of ways, you know, if you're going to go the job route. But me personally, I always recommend as soon as you get on the job, the first thing you need to be doing is try to figure out a way to get off of that by owning your own company. And that's just my philosophy, and because that is the way I see it, and that works for me. And it's because if you're doing something that you like to do, opposed to doing something that you got to do because you have allowed yourself to get in a situation that demands that you do something you don't want to do in order to make make ends meet and bring bread home to put on the table. And a lot of us are in these situations. I mean, you know, the sister say, well, you know, I like him. One thing I can say about him, he go to work every day, and he got a good job. And first of all, sister, there's no such thing as a good job. There is no security in a job. The only security you have in a job is as long as you're able to perform. However, that's where your conversation come in. Just talk to the brother. Hey, you got a good job. You're doing real good. Have you ever considered opening your own company? Let's see where the brother head at. Same thing with the brothers, you know, the sisters. Well, I work over here. I'm an executive over here, and I've been on my job 12 years, and I'm making 6 figures. And okay, well, sisters, what you doing for yourself that you created? You know, your own. What are you doing about that? You know, see where her head is at. If she's got it all mapped out, and he's got it all mapped out in his head. And, well, I'm going to be here, and I'm going to retire. And when I retire, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Well, you're dealing with the I and a my situation, you know. Well, what are you going to do when you get married? Well, actually, I'm not planning on getting married. But if I meet Mrs. Wright, then so, well, okay, if you meet Mrs. Wright, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with you if you meet Mrs. Wright? You know, what is it that you're doing to plan to build some security to for yourself in the event that something happens, if you get sick or something, or you get laid off, or the company closed, shut down, or what happened, or they go to laying off employees, because they've been doing quite a bit of that inside the United States, all over the United States. We got companies that's laying off thousands of employees at a time. And these are people who had what they thought was a sound and secure job. I got hired on a job one day. They had a profit sharing package, and the day that I came there, they was holding a meeting to give this guy his profit sharing reward. And they said that they was having a meeting the next day. Now, this is the day that I got hired, but the next day they brought everybody in the office, and I came in and said, we're closing down the profit sharing program. I said, oh, my goodness. Day one. Amazing. So how much security you got in the job? And we are talking about creating stability to a marriage and creating happiness inside of marriage. And we know that stress is a killer and is a burden on a marriage, especially when you got two people working together, both of you billing. You bought two cars, you're finna move into your new home, you get in the new home, as soon as you get in there and get the lights and stuff cut on, you bought your new furniture, bought a new refrigerator, new stove, new washing, new dryer, you just bought a new lawnmower, just hired a new man to cut the yard with it, and all of a sudden he loses his job. And then he goes into a state of depression because he don't know what he's going to do. And he done been over here to this place, and they said they ain't hiring. And so he's constantly complaining to you every night. And you don't want to hear that because the rent due in a minute. And the license is due in the next 3 days. So, and you know you can't pay it all. So we have a very, very serious problem. So we ask these questions and get all of this information straight in the beginning before we get involved with this situation. Then you discover that, you know, you can save yourself from all these kind of problems. Because I know a lot of people that have been through this same exact situation. I was talking to I talk to brothers all the time, but I was talking to a guy. This guy, you know, he worked for this company. He'd been for the company, 30 years? And the company said that they was moving out of state. They were closing down their office here, and they was moving. Actually, the business was going outside of the United States. And I asked him, I said, well, you moving out of the United States? He said, no, they ain't taking nobody with them. I said, what you going to do? I said, I don't know, man. I got to think of something. I said, well, you know, you ever considered opening your own business? Man, I can't afford to do that right now. I said, well, it seems to me you can't afford not to. You better do something if you plan on keeping your lifestyle, your current lifestyle. And so, you know, it's something to consider. Communication is very, very important. And prior to getting married, these are the things that you want to communicate about. Because you got to, if you're going to get married, you're going to want to keep the future in hand. And if any of you got anything to add to this here, I'm going to open up the line here and see what is there. Area code 404.
Yeah, this is Dr. Scott.
Dr. Scott? Hey, Dr. Scott,
yes,
come on in.
Damn it, Dr. Scott, call him in, man, because I had to call him, man, because you're cracking me up, man. You're cracking me up. A lot of that I don't agree with what you're saying. And I had to call
you
in, man, to talk with you for a minute. No.
You called in to disagree?
Yes, yes, I called in to disagree. I give an opposing view.
Okay, well, go ahead. Go ahead, let me know what's on
the political correct with. The opposing view of communication is two-way. When a man go out and he has a wife that stays at home and he goes out and the situation causes him to lose his job, a good woman go tell him, sit down first when you walk in the door. She going to build him back up. She going to say, hey, baby, everything going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. Then they going to sit down. She going to go ahead on and feed her man, make sure he's taken care of. Then she going to sit down and give him a day. Yeah, one day, 24 hours. Then she going to sit down with him, and she going to talk about things. What can we do? See, she's not going to focus on a good woman, not going to focus on the door that just closed. She's going to be looking at the door, the opportunity just opened for maybe him for him to start his own business or either go to work for someone else. But that's what a good woman will do. And I know quite a few. But she ain't going to be sitting there having a man going through no changes because that's not going to help the family. That's not going to help the family. She's going to help build him back up so he can go back at that. Or she's going to go out there and look for a job and let him stay home with the kids if they have any small kids. Because she can go to work, too. Yes, that's the way you work. As far as I'm concerned, that's the way a family works. They carry the load together, not just in a particular person. It's not always on the man, as far as I'm concerned. And also, let me throw this in, too. There are good jobs out there. Now, nothing is absolute. Nothing. Even working for yourself is not absolute. Because you can have a thriving business, and the competition can come and run you out of business. So working for yourself is not a guarantee.
Okay, now, this is what I want to know, because you lost me. I got two questions. First of all, tell me, when did I say anything about what a good woman wouldn't do?
I didn't say you said anything about a good woman. All I'm hearing is about what's the man supposed to do in the communication. I didn't hear any time when I chimed in to listen to you, which has been over 30 minutes. I haven't heard nothing where you say it was a two-way communication. I heard you saying a part about the man up there when he say that he can't find a job, a good woman. When a man come in there and say, well, I don't been 5-10 places, nobody hiring. She first thing a good woman going to do is say, okay, baby, you did your best. Just get you some rest and let's start over again tomorrow because I believe in you. That's what a good woman does. She's not going to beat a man down and talk about where get back out there and find a job, but you ain't producing, you ain't that. Because she may come up with some ideas. She may want to go to work. She may want to start a career for herself. And him, family that we don't have small kids, I think both of them should be working anyway. Some days a woman staying home and being a housewife, and that's what they want, is over with.
Okay. Well, now, here go my second question. Tell me, where in America is there a good job?
Man, there are quite a few companies that's good jobs. Johnson & Johnson provide good jobs. Southwest Airlines provide good jobs. That's something that I have plenty of research on. A top company with diversity in there, where people of all different nationalities work together. And are successful. They can have upward mobility. There's thousands of companies in America that's have a good job. Yes. And I hear people say good things about them. I read good things about them. Yes.
Okay. Well, you got anything else, bro?
Well, the thing here when it comes to, yes, because being dealing with conflict resolution, my specialties in the community, they're in a relationship, there's two becoming one. And it's not always on the man because really the woman has some outstanding power. She's a beautiful thing when she uses her power for the right reason. And nobody, when they get married, should go out and buy and get into a whole lot of debt because she have a job. That's the most stupid thing in the world. So you find out and sit down and work out a budget. You sit down and work out your short-term goals. and your long-term goals here. Get the best person in there who can handle the money, whether it be the man or the woman, take charge of that. They work together to maintain their property if they already own a home. And then they work together to raise the kids up together. There's not the wife's job or not the husband's job. It's their job together to work to raise the family together. There's their job to sit down with the family. See, and as far as I'm concerned, yeah, there should be a time when, these days and time when they cut that technology off. You should have a day where you turn off all the technology in the house and everybody that spends quality time together, at least two days out of the week. But in a relationship, in a true relationship, both parties are concerned about each other's happiness. They wake up each and every day doing whatever they can to make each one happy. That's what a relationship, a solid relationship, is all about.
Well, let me
so whenever there's a situation where the husband loses his job, the wife can go to work, or you know, and they bring the money in, and when times are good, they got to be putting that money away for rainy day, because no matter how good you are, Murphy's Law will come in effect. You can be doing everything right, the husband and the wife, and outside forces can come in and cause disturbance in the residence. But what good a man or woman does, they build each other up, because everybody can have go through some rough time. So they build each other up and keep pushing and do whatever it takes to keep the family going. But it's not just on the man. It's on both parties, and both parties should participate 100%. Ain't no such thing as no 50-50. It's 100-100. And that's my comment for the day.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question before you go. Could you define happiness for me?
Happiness and love is a condition where the happiness of another person is essential to your own happiness. As I said before, when you're in a relationship, you won't be concerned about your mate. You wake up each and every day trying to figure out how you can make this person happy. Yes. Now, there's no perfect days. Every day is not perfect. But if you do everything you can to make your mate happy, you have some empathy, too. And that's what you see a lot in a lot of families today, a lot of apathy, where everybody is concerned about what they want. It used to be when I was coming up, and I think that I'll be very brief. When I was coming up, we kept the kids in front of us. When I was raising my son as a single parent, I raised him from a baby. I kept him in front of me. I never allowed him to walk behind me. Then I saw him later in the late 80s when women were talking about where we'll get a divorce. You know, I got a good job and I'm going to get this child support and I'm going to do just fine. And the kids adjust. Well, look at them today. They did a good job of adjusting. See, so whenever we talk about marriage here, which is very important to our community, because that's one of the ways we're going to be able to rebuild wealth in our community. Because as soon as we start having the breakup, the wealth went down. And it's hard on women today, because what happened is if a woman loses her job today, she don't have no support back there. Yeah, she don't have no support. So she is devastated more than the male is today in the workplace, because she don't have that support there. But anytime, happiness is a condition where the happiness of your mate is just as important or essential to your own happiness. That's what happiness is.
Okay. Well, I happen to agree that would be a very integral part of the relationship. Anyway, what we're doing here, you weren't here in the beginning, but the title of the broadcast is "Should You Stay in a Marriage If You Are Unhappy?" What do you think about that?
Yes, first of all, the thing that you have to make sure that you are not causing unhappiness. See, because sometimes it's so easy for us to look over there across the fence, see, and see where the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. But we have to realize no matter what side of the fence you're on, you still have to water the grass. But that's where we fail at sometimes. We're so busy looking at what somebody else may have, and then we get this animosity within ourselves, assuming that, hey, well, this ain't right, because he ain't like this, he ain't doing this. Because most of the time they are judging their relationship by somebody else's relationship. Instead of being thankful that you have someone that cares about you and they're doing the best that they can. And if you were doing your part to bring in some love in the house, tell a drama, things would be a whole lot better. But too often, as I see it in the late 80s, that we know that people was, because I'm not down on my sister, because I love all my sisters, no matter what she fashion or form. But too many of them got caught up in corporate America and the feminine movement, and they say, hey, well, I'm making a little money now. You know, I got a college degree, thank God I didn't get a good job, and I get this child support here. I can maintain. You know, I can keep going. And it caused a disruption here. So the fellas now, in the African-American community, the ones who are still married, they used to be, when I was coming along, the brother leave home, he only had to worry about dealing with the world out there. But today when he come home, he has to deal not only with the world, but he has to deal with the drama up in the house, whether he calls it or his wife calls it. But in a lot of marriage today, they can't survive. It's more about purpose, compassion, than having a big house, a fancy car. It's about thinking about the time that if you ever get sick, who's going to be there for you? Yes. Because anything can happen. You can be up and in good health the next day in a wheelchair tomorrow. Who knows? But we're so busy, so consumed with looking at what's going on today instead of thinking about tomorrow or that person over there who's doing their very best to make us happy, because we over here looking on the other side of the fence. Instead of trying to water the grass on our own yard, we miss out on the opportunity. But if we look at today compared to when my parents come along, there was 10 of us, one job, but we made it. Today, African Americans make good money. Not as much as they should be making, but they're still making good money. And they can't make it with two kids a day. So when I say to people, look at yourself first before you start pointing the fingers at somebody saying your woman ain't right, she don't gain a little weight, or your man, he got a little stomach, he got this and that. Look past that and look at their heart. Look at the compassion that they have for you. Look at how they get up every morning and go to work for you and do the best that they can and be thankful for that. Because when you go on the other side of that fence, you know, that joker looks good when you're over there looking over the fence. But when you get on the other side, you might not see all that weed in that grass that you got to deal with.
So you're saying that if we are in a marriage, if a man and a woman is in a marriage together, well, hold on before I ask that question now. Area code 904.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, sister. What's going on? You got a question or comment?
I just wanted to give a comment, I guess, on the question of the night is, should someone stay in a marriage where someone is unhappy? Mm-hmm. I don't really think anyone should stay in any type of relationship where they're unhappy, even if they're married or whatever. But first, it's just not something that you, if you jump into that deep water, then there are times when you might be unhappy, but you got to examine what it is that makes you unhappy. Now, if it's something that can be fixed and worked on between the two once you compromise and talk to each other about it, then I think that's the way you should go. But if you've done all of that and you've discussed why one person is unhappy or maybe both are unhappy or whatever it is, and you've done everything that you could to try to save and reconcile that unhappiness, then after you've done all that and it's still not working out, then I don't see anything wrong with moving on.
I agree, absolutely. After you've done everything you can, but the first thing you need to do is check yourself. You need to go in there and take a look in the mirror and see if your system, your value system when it comes to marriage is in line with what marriage is all about. Because we have a lot of people jump into marriage for materialistic things, and when some of them things are gone or didn't develop to the level that they want to throw their hands up. They're not concerned about the kids in the marriage, because some things are worth making a sacrifice for. Is I'm unhappy because that's what I want, or is I'm unhappy because the foundation of this marriage is falling apart? And a lot of people don't take the time to look at that.
Well, let me ask this question here. In your opinion, for what reason should two people get married anyway?
I'll tell you the reason why I got married.
Why did you get married?
I got married because I can't say that I was 100% in love or something with my ex-husband, but I was feeling a certain kind of way. I was reaching an age about in my early 30s, and I wanted to start a family and things of that nature. And I guess because of my upbringing, even in those times, I just didn't feel comfortable enough about bringing kids into the world outside of marriage. I don't know. I might be old-fashioned on my part or whatever, but I was more, I liked the guy okay and everything of that nature, and I loved him, but I can't say that I was deeply in love with him. So that was a mistake from the beginning for me to go into that where I was just going into marriage because I felt like the time was right at that time, point in time in my life, to get married and settle down and have a family. So that's why I entered into it. And I tried to make it work. I stayed in it for about 12 years, and it was 12 rough years. And we battled all type of issues. For one thing, we was just not compatible. And I didn't know a whole lot at that time about trying to seek somebody out that you was the least compatible with. So it just didn't work out. We just was too different, too volatile, both of us, and it didn't work out. But I stayed in it for 12 years because during that time we had two kids. And I just hung in there as long as I could for the sake of my kids until I realized that hanging in there for their sake wasn't doing them any good either way, to be brought up in that type of family where it was nothing but a bunch of arguing, cussing, and fighting going on. And it was affecting them more than I even know. So I made a decision that that type of life wasn't good for them either. So I moved on.
Okay, Stanley, why did you think two people should get married? For what reason should they get married?
Well, they have to be in agreement. They have to be in agreement that the reason for them getting married is not just because of love and because of physical attraction. It has to be for purpose, to raise a family, to live and develop happiness together. There's many reasons. Marriage is like a stew. You know, it's like a beef stew. You know, you can put a lot of things into beef stew to make it good. But today we are so defined by materialistic stuff, you know, getting married so we can get a house. You know, you hear that often, like get a nicer car or get someone to help pay our bills. We don't get together to raise a family too much anymore, because if that's the case, we'll put the kids first and we will work things out instead of getting together and then things don't work out. The first thing we want to do is run in a different direction. But in marriage, you have to have a foundation of forgiveness. Being able to, because you're going to make mistakes. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. You're going to make mistakes. So you have to have the concernment of forgiveness. And too many people don't have that because they live in denial. So in a type that you so marriage should be based on more of purpose. That should be, you should have a mission statement, just like you do in a business. Because, I mean, marriage is a business. You know, it's a personal business, but it's a business. So you need to have a mission statement while you get together, and you have to make commitment to each other more than just you husband and wife. We partners. We have a destination. We want to raise a family. We want to live together for the rest of our lives. You know, and some people don't need to be together, but if you define your mission statement before you get together, then you're a responsible person. You know what I mean? A man got a role. And everybody can talk where, you know, everybody, some people say, well, we don't have roles in family. What you do, a woman has a role just like the man has a role. And the man has got to provide and protect his family. The woman has to keep harmony in the home. Yes, she has to be, or to empower her family, whether the kids and or her husband. But it has to be more, what I see, more of a purpose than love.
Okay. Well, Sharon, let me ask you this. In your opinion, Sharon, how many good jobs do you think are in America?
None. The only good job in America is where you're the head of the corporation or whatever, and you're the one that see the benefits coming from it. Everything else is just working to make somebody else rich and things of that nature, or working to provide a roof over your family's head and provide food and clothing for your children or whatever like that. That's where I worked. That's why I've always worked. And I was brought up that way, that that's the way to go. You go off, you get a good education, you get your degree and things of that nature, and you'll be able to get you a good paying job. That was the disillusion that I had. But I got all those things, and it came to me. I came to find out that that just wasn't enough. That wasn't enough because I have two bachelor's degrees and a master's degree. And I just left a job making less than I made when my first job out of college almost 20 years ago. So I don't know that there are any good jobs. There are jobs that provide you an income to take care of your family and things of that nature, but it's still a struggle.
Well, let me ask you this now. Out of the best job that you would say that you ever had, how much security do you think you had in that job, in your opinion?
None, because most of the jobs that I've had, my employers always let me know first off that this was a at-will employment, which means that they can terminate my employment at any time at will and don't necessarily have to be a reason for it. They can just do it at will. So I've never felt any job security in any job that I've had.
Okay. Well, what do you all think? And Stanley, this question is directed at you. What do you all think about polygamy?
Well, you know, it depends, man. Because you know, with this, so many different types of religion here, you know, I can't really answer that question. I don't think of it. Period. I'm over the traditional way of doing things. So, you know, over in Africa, you know, my people, depends on what country you in, it was okay. So, you know, I can't really answer that one. That's a,
okay,
well,
what do you think about that, Sharon?
Well, raised in European America and from my household with my grandfather and my grandmother was just one man, one wife in a home, and I've always believed that is the way it should be. But throughout my education in the history of our people and things of that nature, I know that there are other options. I don't particularly downgrade or have anything to say about people who choose to live their life in a polygamy relationship. If that's what you choose to do, then I don't see a problem with that. In fact, it might come out better because some of the responsibilities are taken off one person and divided among many. So maybe it might work out better.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Well, okay, I just thought I'd get your opinion on how that, what y'all think about that. Stanley, now this is what I want to ask you. In your opinion, what do you think you should do, a man or woman should do, if they are trapped, if they find themselves trapped in a bad marriage?
Yeah, if they find themselves trapped in a bad marriage, and I'm assuming that you're talking about verbal abusive or physical abuse marriages, that's what we refer to. I got to have some kind of something talking in on to be the answer.
Let's say not physical abuse, just verbal and mental abuse.
Oh, you need to get the stepping. You need to be packing your bags and I hope no kids are involved in it. Get the stepping. Because, nobody won't be with no fool. No matter what side of the fence is on. I mean, if it was male or female. What the crap. Nobody should be. Nobody deserved that. Nobody deserved to be mistreated. Period.
I must agree with that statement, and that's the exact way I found myself in it, even for the sake of my kids that were involved in it, that came along, although I was in a very abusive relationship, and it was just mentally, physically, every type of way abusive, and I thought that I would try to stick it out for the kids' sake because they love their dad, and they love their mom, too. But then I'm going to tell you what made me decide that that wasn't going to work out, even for the sake of that, is one night we were in a heated argument and physically fighting each other. And my kids were really small then. They were probably about 1 and 2 years old. And they overheard us. It was like in 3 o'clock in the morning. And they came out of their bed and just got in a closet and in a corner of the room, and they were just crying and screaming, and then I looked at them, and I saw what it was doing to them, and I knew that that was not any good for them. And so what I did the very next day, I packed up everything that I could in my car and my kids, and we hit the road. And that was the last time I ever saw them do that kind of stuff. But it affects them deeply to go through and see that type of stuff going on, because I found out later from one of my sons, I actually had to give him some counseling because of it, of all the abuse that he had witnessed. And he was talking to the doctor and stuff, and then after the doctor talked to him out, he would come in and discuss it with me as what my son had said. And he can recall, even at a later age, and like so many things that I didn't have any idea that affected him as deeply as it did. So being in an abusive relationship and trying to stick it out for the sake of your kids is just not doing them any good at all.
Definitely. I agree with you 100%. Especially at their age, because it's imprinted on their mind.
Okay.
Right.
Now, in y'all opinion, do you think married people live longer than single people?
Yes.
You think so? And why do you think?
Yes, I think so. It's a scientific proof that that's a fact. Because if there's just a positive relationship, they reinforce each other. They take away a lot of, sometimes by having a good wife or a good husband, when you're having a bad day, they can boost you up. The right touch, the right words, or just the look in their eyes showing the empathy. It means a lot to you. It can take away a lot of pain. So, yes, it's a proven fact.
Okay. What you think, Sharon?
I will say that by living with my grandparents and their marriage and their relationship, I would say that if you're in a good relationship where there's love and respect for each other in that relationship, I think they might, live a little longer or live longer because they won't have as much stress and stuff to wear down on the body and the mind. And that's what probably shortens the life of a lot of single people or people who are in a bad relationship. Just that stress and things of that nature, because I remember I was so stressed out that even my family members and stuff was coming to me and saying, what's wrong with you? What's going on with you? You just look so sad and so stressed out all the time, and my hair was falling out. Everything was going wrong. And I know once I got up out of that, people just can see the difference in me. They come out, oh, you back. I went, oh, yes, I'm back. The real me is back now because I'm at peace myself. And it ain't nothing like peace.
Now, you're talking about after you got out of the marriage.
Yes, after I got out of it.
Okay. So, the question is, do you think married people live longer than single people. Now, I think they're married,
that they are happy and content, and there's love and respect among them for each other. Yes, I do think they probably could live longer because of the fact that it is that way and they don't have as much stress in their lives.
Well, what would be the factor that would contribute to a person that's not married? What would prohibit them from living a long life?
The same thing, because probably if everybody needs somebody, and I don't care what a lot of women out there, they'll say, I don't need no man, stop lying.
That's
everybody
right.
out there needs somebody. Everybody wants to be loved. So, and if you are lucky enough to find that type of stuff, then I think that would make your heart content and you'll be at peace and you'll probably live longer. Now, the single
right.
people out there, they're probably stressful because they're lying to themselves and saying they don't want nobody when everybody do need somebody and they're searching for it. If you're single out there, I know for a fact that you're searching for that same thing. You want to be peace and happiness, too. Everybody
That's
does.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's very important. You know, love has a positive effect. You know, they say smile and does wonderful things for you. Well, you know,
yep.
that out there in the... I'm sorry.
Where?
Hello? Yes. Joy does great things for the body. That's like when you eat healthy, it does great things for the body. But joy, just to know that someone cares for you, make you feel good. It put a little pep in your step, as they say. It make you say hello to people that you normally wouldn't say hello to. See, but when you're depressed and you're lonely sometimes, especially as you look around in our community, there's so much pain in our community. That's why we look at each other. Sometimes when we're walking down there, you know, we think this person that may harm us. It's not that they're thinking about harm us. It's just the way they carry themselves, the way they look. So love has a positive effect. Kind words, a smile, all that has an effect on you.
Sure
and
does.
I would say yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's all the questions I have. And I appreciate y'all giving me the answers to these questions. And I think that you all are right in a lot of perspective. And so I thank you all for asking these questions. And we're getting down to the close of the broadcast. And I certainly appreciate everybody that have tuned in. And thank you, Stanley, and thank you, Sharon, for tuning in and give me your perspective.
Okay.
Oh, anytime.
All right. Everybody, we're going down to the close of this broadcast, and I want to remind you one more time that on Wednesday nights, we're going to be having our financial conference call. The first one will be held this Wednesday at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number to dial is 712-432-3100. The access code is 865-074. That's 712-432-3100. Access code 865-074. Wednesday night at 7:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be first conference call is going to be on marketing and making money and how you all can set up your networks and all of this stuff and get online and take that computer instead of just throwing photographs up on Facebook and talking a bunch of junk. We're going to show you how you can start doing other things that are more constructive. And I certainly appreciate all of you for dialing in and listening to this broadcast. Stay tuned for future broadcasts. We will be back Sunday night. So make sure that you all are in the place. I've been your host, the Hakamana L. Bay, and until next time, you all have a good evening.
was on the phone, I knew something just wasn't right.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know exactly what to do, so I hung the phone and said, "Can't be true."
All right.
But here I am, about to lose my mind.
Come on,
started drinking alcohol.
Oh yeah.
I haven't showered in a few days. I looked in the mirror.
Come on,
somebody please, please tell me what to do.
Oh yes,
I'm about to do some things I just don't want to do. All my friends say, "Where'd you see? Where'd you be?"
Come on,
don't you know what you got yourself into? Why me? Why me? Why me, baby?
Don't you know what you got yourself into?